were you born?
I was born in 3.5 miles north of Rennes, Louisiana.
And when was it?
That was in 1900, September the 28th.
Okay. And when did you first hear this Cajun music?
Well, I always had heard it in one way because that's our line of music, you know, around where I was born.
Did your parents play?
Yeah, my daddy played, my brother, my sister, and the whole family.
What instruments did most of them play?
Well, it's the accordion, French accordion, and the English people call it a push and pull. But it's a French accordion.
Have you ever heard this term zydeco?
A what?
Zydeco music. I've talked to some Negroes, you know, who play a similar type of music.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
When did you first make records?
In 1928.
Did you ever sing on any of them yourself, or was it mostly there was? I think on the record that I have is Clem and Ophie Bro.
Yeah, but that's my brother-in-law, Ophie Bro.
Oh, that was your brother.
I was married to Cleomo Bro.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And how did you happen to make that record? Did you
tell us? Well, we was a bunch of us Frenchmen in a pool hall talking to each other. And that where one of them proposed me to try to make a record. I said, no, I said we can't make a record. And me, you know, I never knew how they was making them nothing. I never had seen, you know, making them. And we start until later on, it's a man of the company that come down to Rennes, the town that I was born and raised in, Rennes, Louisiana.
In Rennes, oh, just
the first town.
And where did they record most of the records? I know you made about 200 some
numbers. No, I didn't make that many. I made quite a few, but I really don't remember exactly how many I made.
Where did they record those?
The first recording was in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. And then later ones, did you go any place to make?
Yeah, I went to New York twice.
Did you ever remember hearing brass bands around here, you know, French type groups that played polkas and quadrilles and this kind of thing?
Oh, not much of it, I can tell you. It's just a brass band, you know, they have their line of music from what I heard, you understand, but no French music to them. No.
Because we've just been kind of curious, you know, as to where the Negroes who later went to play jazz, you know, where they got those horns from.
Oh.
And we were just wondering if any of the plantations, you know, had brass bands, but you probably don't.
Well, I've been hearing brass band ever since I was a young boy. And I'm be 62 the next month, the 28th of September. But I don't know from exactly where do they come from. You understand?
What were some of the first tunes that you remember hearing or learning when you started playing accordion?
Well, really, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because, you know, I was a kid, a little kid, you mean, when I first started playing, you mean.
Yeah.
Well, I was a little bit of a kid, but I'd say 6-7 years old, that's how, when I first started banging on it.
One of the records I was very fond of yours is called Osson, O-S-S-O-N.
Osson.
Oh, Osson, you call it?
Osson.
What does that mean?
Well, it's just the name of a little town.
Oh, it is.
You know, you've got to set a name to any record you're going to make.
Yeah.
And us French people, years back, we knew some song, you understand, but they had no name to them, you know. So when the recording took place amongst the French numbers, you just had to find a name to put on the record. Well, like that Austin, that's a two-step, they call it. Well, I've been knowing that name, Austin Two-Step, and that was just a small little sized town by the name of Austin. That's in Louisiana, Austin, Louisiana, you know. And it said, call it Austin Two-Step. And that's where I kept it in my head until later on when I grew up, I was a man. When I recorded that, I said, well, this is Austin Two-Step. And I made that record out of that number.
You know, since I don't speak French, I don't understand, you know, many of the songs, but you have a good deal of what we call ballads amongst French numbers, you know, that tell a story about a person or an event, like a storm or anything. Are there any songs in the repertoire that you have that you sing about?
What are
most of the songs about that you sing?
Well, it's just...
I love you and kind of...
It's something like that, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
But you haven't run across anything that tell a story or something?
Well, no, I heard one of them that made for that Audrey, that big storm we had, you know, in 57. Another boy made it, but I forgot his name.
But you usually, there aren't any that you know of, old ones, or that date from way back.
Well, that's mostly all the, like, love, thanks to the song, you know. And
Did you ever make up a lot of them, or were they mostly things that you heard from your band?
Well, the number was there, but I had to make up the words.
Were there any other groups at the time that you first recorded that also made records? Because I've never heard
Well, yeah, in one way, different type of music, you see. Not the French music.
Wondering, when did you first use these amplifiers, you know, so the whole thing amplifier. Remember
yeah.
when that
Let's see. Yeah, see, I can go pretty close. I'd say in the 30 or a little, maybe after 1930 that we start with that, but otherwise we was playing just wide open.
Yeah. How did you make yourself heard in those days? Just play louder, or did you have a different instrument?
How you mean now?
No, in the old days.
In the old days, that's all they had, the accordion, that it had but one sound, you know what I mean? It was no louder, that's all. And you just had to sing in, like, I call it in the air, me, because they had no mic, nothing. Yeah. You know.
Did you play at the beer joints, or did you play on the outside sometimes?
Well, I played mostly anywhere. Anywhere they needed me.
I mean, amongst the, you know, Negroes that we talked to, used to have a lot of old time in the old days, picnics, you know, outdoor get-togethers.
We had some time when they have parties, you know, some kind of a way. Go and play a few tunes, let them have a good time.
Yeah.
Do the playing, let them do the drinking, eating, telling the story.
And did your parents ever tell you, or your grandparents, as to where that music come from? Did they originally come from Canada?
Well, really, there's some I would know. They never told me about that.
But you heard it all, that type of music, from your parents, pretty much the way you played it.
Yeah, just like what the way we played it.
Or do you think it has changed a great deal?
Oh, well, in one way, it changed a little. Yeah, it has a different type of numbers now. You know, the dancers' numbers change too, you see.
Oh, yeah.
But the real French music didn't change so much.
Did they used to use fiddles and steels, or is that a kind of a reason?
No steel, I didn't know what a steel was when I started playing. They'd ask me for a steel, I wouldn't know nothing about it. They had violins, you know, it was a fiddle, a violin. And they had sometimes they had guitar player, and those little triangle, you know what is a triangle? They made kind of this way, and you take a little iron rod and you're beating it. Well, that's what they had, little triangles and the accordion. No electric instrument, no kind of ways.
Yeah, because I remember your records back, did you sometimes have two accordions?
No,
or you
just
sometimes have one. That was you playing all that music on those records?
The accordion, yeah.
Is that right? Sometimes sounds like almost there were two instruments.
You know why? They have so much good sound system, you see.
Yeah.
They pick it up. And them accordion those days, you could go and buy a new one for $14 and $15. Yeah. Not today, you can't buy them for $1,000 because they ain't got none. You know what we're using now? Repair accordion. We have a fella in Lake Charles by the name of Sidney Brown. We have one in Rain by the name of Ove Richard. They both of them repair accordion, put them brand new. You take Sidney Brown in Lake Charles, he makes the accordion, the whole accordion if you need one. He got the tubes and everything, you know, and he make it complete. When he,
but I imagine that's pretty expensive when you.
Oh yeah, well, it's expensive and not in one way. It's not a line of a high price music, but the same accordion we spend $14, $15, $16 cost you from $140 to $175 today. That's a great difference in the price anyway.
Yeah. You were talking about these new numbers. Do you think, are those the ones that perhaps people like Harry Schultz made popular and people like that?
Well, that was an old number, that what Harry showed me, that Jolie Blonde.
Yeah, how far back do you think that number goes?
That Jolie Blonde? Mean when it...
when did you
ever since that? I knew it?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that number ever since I was a growing man. Oh yeah, that's not a new number, but it come out on records.
Yeah.
You know, everything come on record was new. Like the one I made, Allons à Lafayette.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was my first number. Well, all right, everybody was crazy. They say, where you picked that up? I said, I knew that when I was, those days kid was wearing short pants,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Uh-huh. They didn't have no long pants. You had to be a growing man about 15 or 16 years old before you had long pants. I see time. You heard that song, Time Change Everything? Well, that's what it did.
So you knew that Allons à Lafayette?
Yeah, that's what I, that was my first record I'm recording in New Orleans.
Who went down there with you, down to New Orleans, when you made your first record?
You mean the play with me?
Yeah.
Just me and my wife, Cleomo Brew. Well, George Burr come down, you know, he took us in his car. I had a car, but he had a better car than I had.
Oh.
So he's the one who was anxious. He had a jewelry shop in Rain, and he wanted to sell the record. And I'm going to tell you how it came out. We went over there, they looked at us, we was but two, and they used to record with big orchestra. You know? They looked at us, they said, that's not enough music to make a record. And so George... Now I'm telling you what's the truth now. George in his jewelry shop, on his book, he had 250 records was paid already before I made it. They wanted to be sure to have them, you understand? And when he went over there, he started talking to me. He said, we gotta run it through because he said, that man there is popular where I'm from in Rain. And he said, them people's crazy, but his music, and they want the record. He said, well, he said, we don't know if it's gonna sell. Then it turned around, they asked him, they said, how much would you buy? He said, I want 500 the first shot. Oh, they said, 500, when you gonna get through selling that? Well, he said, that's my worry, it's not yours. He said, run it through. He said, I want 500, and he put out a blank check, and he said, furthermore, he said, make you a check for 500 records. He said, I'm gonna show you I want them. He said, make you a check there for that. They started looking at each other. Well, they said, you go ahead and play a tune just for us to hear. And it was all them stiff collar with coats on and everything, you know, them highfalutin.
Yeah.
So I opened that accordion and it was a closed, a big building, you know, but it was closed. That thing was sounding like it wanted to take the roof off. And when I played that number, they started talking to each other. They said, Lord, but boy, that's more music out of two instruments that I ain't ever heard in my life. They said, let's try one. We're going to run it through and we play it right back. Because when they play it right back, it's not good anymore. You understand?
Yeah,
it's soft wax.
Yeah.
Understand? And those days, it was about that thick. And you just played one side. That's all. Now today you can play on both sides and slam records and it's good to go. It's different, you see now. And we made it through. He said, go ahead and sing it and everything like you'd be recording for good there. But he said, we want to play that record. It's not going to be good after we get through playing, but if it suit us, we're going to run it through. So, boy, they went over there. You remember them old record that dog is sitting down? They got a big horn to it. Well, that's what they had over there to try the record on. And it sounds loud, you know. Boy, when they open up that machine and it start, you know, it start singing and playing, you ought to see how that comfort, chill, goosebump. You know, hear my own self, you know, singing.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it make you feel kind of funny. And you know, they start talking and come back to the way I had played it then. All the began come. They say, go ahead, but we don't understand nothing, but it's a sweet sound, you know what they mean? It looked like it could have been good. And he said, we gonna try. And I made it. I made that record there, and then no time that record come out, I guarantee you they were right back looking for me.
What was the first one you did? What was the title of it?
Do
you remember the first?
Yeah, that's what I just told you. Alons à Lafayette, and on the other side was a wall. So I put it the name there. The walls that carried me to my grave. It was a nice number too. So. And when it come out again to you, it made a hit for a while. Oh, you know, that was the first French record ever was recorded. That's why. Because amongst you people, you know, if somebody do something that sounds good and everything, well, that's your own people. You force yourself like you want to get one, you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even some of the post country fella that buy the highest two records, they ain't had no little Victrola. Sure enough. Buy it and go to the neighbors and play it.
Yeah. It's really great. So imagine those days, you know, the phonograph is still something new, and to hear you.
Yeah, but that's what, that was new entirely.
Yeah.
Because they had that French, like they speak in France, you know. But us, it's just a broken French around in this country here.
Yeah.
It's not the French. We ain't speaking French now.
What do you actually call this language?
Cajun French.
We call it Cajun French.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it Creole.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd go for that. It could be, you know.
I think Cajun is probably it because they were the Cajun people came. Didn't they originally come from Canada?
That's right. French. That's right.
And then did they call you to New York to make more?
Mm-hmm. They did twice.
Who did you go with then? You go with
your wife? No, yes, with my wife.
And she played guitar?
Guitar. Right.
And that's all you had?
That's all, and it made plenty of music.
Yeah, sometimes you had a triangle on some of the numbers.
No, I don't think. Not. Mine, not my records that I remember.
It's amazing because, you know, I heard that record and I could swear there were two accordions. That's all you played. That's fantastic.
Just a single accordion like you seen last night.
Is that right? No music out of it that I have heard. That's amazing. I love the way you just told about, you know, that. Oh, yeah. After the 20s, you never recorded again, did you? I mean,
No, but it was in 28 record.
Yeah, you mean your first ones were made in
1928.
And then when did you go to New York? The same year?
Yeah, the same year.
Mm-hmm. And how many times did you go to New York?
I went twice to New York. One time I went on the, let's see, on the train. Yeah, that's it. The first time I went on the train, the next I went on the bus. When we got to New Orleans, we had an accident. The platform, that was before the bridge, was over the river, you understand? And I don't know what happened, the thing got unhooked, and I mean that old bus, the back, the rear end of the bus, they just went plumb undone, even with the water of the river. And between the crack of the ferry there, you could see the water there. And it's only two person got hurt, but not seriously. And we climb up again, he put it in old grandma, and we went up on the other side, and some of them were so scared, they said, I believe I'm going to stop right here, so I ain't going no further. Yeah.
That's fascinating. But then after that, you never made any attempts to record during the 30s or later?
Well, I record quite a while until I got disgusted. There's so many of them that went, you know, the same type of music, and just make it for hardly nothing, you know, and it got me disgusted. They come back three times for me. I told them just what it was. I said, nope. They just cut ahead and try to do, you know, so I said, I done made my share, so I quit for a while anyway. If I'd have to make any more records, I'd make them for my own self. I wouldn't make it for... People, they'd come down and ask me for French number. like Jolie Blonde, Alonzo Lafayette, a record I record my own self, and that Poor Old Hobo, that's my brother-in-law made that, Amede Bro.
Who's your brother-in-law?
Amede Bro. He was from here, but he lives in Rennes now. And a lot of those people couldn't speak a word in French. And they come and ask me some of those French numbers. They heard it, you know, and they like it.
Yeah. Well, don't you think a lot of people who live down in Texas probably came from here originally?
No, some of them, but not all. Where I was playing is people who originated from over there. Well, we had people from Houston, way on the other side of Houston, come down. Couldn't understand a word in French, but they just loved it. Well, of course, listen, we was playing English number. We was playing a string band those days, you understand? I played a few numbers on accordion, but we was playing string band. I'm the one who was on the drum, you see.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And they'd come and, you know, that man, we was playing every 2 weeks then. And between our 2 weeks, you know, he had another band. And he passed about six or seven bands at the time. I played for nearly 2 years, and us, we kept our study engagement all that time. And we were selling from 170, 75 to 200, 225 tags every 2 weeks. We'd get the crowd there. We got a little joke to tell you when we get through there.
Go ahead.
You want it?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but it's nothing dirty.
Okay.
They're going to pick it up, though.
Okay.
Well, it's a man from Houston come down there, and he got kind of high, and he was breaking a bottle on his head, you know, beer bottle, right in the hall. And so the policeman come down to Walter, my cousin was on the place, you see. He said, Walter, what you want to do with a man like that? Walter said, listen, you the law. He said, take him out. When they took him out, they asked him his name. He didn't want to give his name. They asked him where he's from. He didn't want to say where he's from. They said, well, we'll find out. So both policemen grabbed each one arm and they put him in the car and they went and put him in the jail. You know, he was disturbing the peace. So they put him to jail, and that ain't no joke. Now that it happened. It did happen. And so they said, tomorrow we'll find out who you are. You're going to stay longer than you think in jail if we don't find out. So at the end of the dance, when we played the last number, everybody left, you know. So they had a habit to go inspect the yard, you see, all around. If it wasn't no people drunk that would be laying down or could get hurt or something, or somebody would be kind of head, you know, try to bust in or something. They, you know, they'd go in before they leave. So there was only but one car left there. They went in the glove compartment to find some letters. And who you reckon was doing all that? A preacher from Houston. A preacher. And that ain't no lie, so I'm a Holy Communion. I'm Catholic. Now, you know I wouldn't lie. A preacher from Houston. I made him laugh. You know what I said? I said, I bet you when he went back and tried to preach to his people, he'd tell them, don't y'all go to them place where them beer joint and them dance hall, and that ain't no place for the good people to go. I bet you he said.
He did.
Well, that's it.
That's pretty good.
We need that now, but a little on, maybe you would need somebody for a certain type of anything, you know, for help. She said, how would you like that if they turn you down like you turn him down? I said, that's right, yeah. So I walk up to the door and I call him. I said, listen, I'm not gonna play tonight, but I said, Thursday, if you haven't found anybody, I said, give me a ring and I'll go. So that was on Saturday night. So the Sunday morning, he called me right away. He said, listen, I'm waiting for you. But I had told him, I said, I'll play for you, but I said, you have to hire my wife too. Because I said, I ain't going by myself. My wife played the drum good for the French, you know, that French music there. And I said, if you take us both, I said, it's okay. But he said, y'all get ready for Thursday. He said, come meet me in Gaydon. That's what he was playing on. Then I took a head of it. He told me, he said, I can't run a dance. He said, you go ahead. He said, you used to that. He said, you go ahead. And he said, take care of it. He said, and I leave it up to you. He said, you know more than me about it. So I just kept on it, like I usually. But I had quit for over 2 years. I didn't want to play no more. I set up too much. I set up all my life, buddy. Right now, I'll be 62 years old, September 28th. And I come, like last night, It's a good friend of mine was to the funeral home, an old man of around 80 years. And he died, he was to the funeral home. And we knew him good. He used to come at gate until I danced all the time. So my wife said, "Aunt, we gonna go past a little while." I said, "Sure." I said, "I'm not sleeping after the dance." We just went on down to Kaplan. He was in Kaplan funeral home. We went there, and then after that we left. We come to the bus station in Crowley. We stopped there. I ate me a good old hamburger and a glass of milk, you know. And come down back here, and you know, I had my eyes wide open. I wasn't more sleepy than if I just got out of bed. That's funny. Look like a man of my age ought to be tired out, you know.
Well, I think you should stay active and probably enjoy yourself.
That's what everybody told me. That Saturday, I played until I started at 8:30. At 12:30, I was supposed to quit my day. The owner of the place came and he said, "Listen, we got too much people here." He said, "Quit." He said, "I'll pay you extra." He said, "How about playing half an hour?" I said, "Whatever you want." I said, "Just so you pay, I'm good for it." And after the dance, he asked my wife, he said, "Is Joe solid like that anywhere?" My wife said, "Anywhere you put him." She said, "I never seen something like that yet for his age. It's some fellow built with strength, you know what I mean, with a good system. And some of them at the end of 35, 40 years, they run down. That's how it goes, you see."
Amazing how work is.
Well, I was working building houses in Patterson, that's between here, close to Morgan City, on New Orleans Road, you know, on Highway 90. I put in 10 months of hard work, carpenter. And you know that's hard work, I'm gonna tell you that. That's a heavy lumber, you see, when you come with them 2x6 and 2x8, that buddy, they got weight on that. And I put in 10 months without equipment. Well, adios.